Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Who needs championships when you've got Jeff Blair?
All right, thank goodness for the Toronto Raptors. Thank goodness for the respite they and their splendid players and their engaged fans offered us yesterday after, oh my God, after the torpor that is the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, bad enough that the Leafs quit on the coaching staff, themselves, and the city in that 9-2 loss to the Nashville Predators. Making matters worse was an ESPN interview with a guy you never wanted to hear from again, Ron Wilson, who hung around all day like a bad fart after spewing mealy-mouthed garbage about Toronto fans and how hard they were making things for poor Randy and the guys. And you have Ron Wilson. Does he even count anymore? Look, I felt badly for my peers assigned to cover Leafs practice on Thursday. I mean, my God, how they needed the hip waders to make it through the pile of manure heaped at their feet. After practice, the Leafs all said they needed to be better. My favorite was Tyler Bozak saying, "We just didn't compete hard enough." Really? Then compete harder next time. I mean, either the Leafs' problems really are that simple, in which case they have the stupidest collection of players in the history of organized sports, or the most spoiled, or the laziest, or they just flat out hate their coach and want him gone, or the head coach and his staff aren't getting them ready to play the game, or maybe they just don't have that much talent. Either the problems are that simple, or they're so complex that the core of this team needs to be gutted. In other words, five-year plan, anyone? Which brings us back to the Raptors. Where does the buck stop with them? Well, it stops with Masai Ujiri. I know it, you know it, the players know it, the NBA knows it. He's front and center. And while it needs to be said that Ujiri's having a lot of success with a lot of Brian Colangelo's pieces, and that his best move as Raptors GM was having the New York Knicks kill a trade of Kyle Lowry, no one can doubt the man's accessibility and accountability. Brendan Shanahan? Well, he continues to be silent. Yesterday, he sent out a general manager that nobody thinks is going to be here next year to talk about the crisis facing the team. For the new face of the franchise, Brendan Shanahan's been awfully camera shy in this his first crisis. And, you know, maybe that's to be expected. Maybe this is Brendan Shanahan. Maybe he's a cold, calculating guy, a political guy, sitting back, picking a spot. But, well, see, this is about Brendan Shanahan. He's done a great deal in his NHL career. But he's never had to make a call on whether to fire a guy. I mean, I'm not saying Brendan Shanahan's not up to the job. But so far, the only proof we have that he is that Tim Lewicki thinks he is. And in this city, that's just not good enough anymore.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
He's a real nowhere man. Sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
All right, we've got a busy show today. Lots of Raptors talk. We are going to take your calls on the Maple Leafs. We're going to shift the focus a little bit to Brendan Shanahan. And nobody's calling for him to be fired or anything like that or lose his job, so don't go down there. But I'm wondering if, like me, you're kind of disappointed that Brendan Shanahan didn't come out yesterday and say the things that needed to be said. You know what? If Brendan Shanahan says what David Nona says yesterday, it carries a hell of a lot more weight. I mean, if he uses the same words that Nona used, it carries a lot of weight. And I'm just throwing this out there because I don't know if he can run a hockey team. You don't know if he can run a hockey team. Tim Lewicki thinks he does. So I want to get your take on this at 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590, star 590. You can weigh in on social media. Use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SN Jeff Blair. Did Brendan Shanahan need to step up yesterday? Did he let an opportunity go by? We'll get to your calls, but before we do that, we are joined, as always, on Thursday by our NHL insider, Renaud Lavoie of TVA Sports. Monsieur Lavoie, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Mr. Blair.
What if Brendan Shanahan isn't that smart, Renaud?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, we're in a situation right now in Toronto where I think people assume and people believe that change, some sort of change is needed here. Either the coach or maybe even part of the core group of this team. This has gone on for a while now. You know that as well as anybody. It's nothing new. I think in some ways Brendan Shanahan may have failed his first test here.
Well, it's early. Let's be honest, it's really early in the process. But to be honest with you, Jeff, I was in Toronto earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I was there for the Hall of Fame and the GM meeting on Tuesday. And I was kind of shocked with what was going on in Toronto. Yes, it was a huge loss on Saturday versus the Sabres. But those things happen. I mean, the Sabres beat the Sharks 4-1 the game after.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, well, it's still the San Jose Sharks, and the Sabres were able to beat that team. So I think the Sabres are now a little bit better than they were maybe 2 weeks ago. But that being said, you're supposed to beat that team even today. The problem that you have is the game after, is Tuesday's game. 9-2, I was at the game, and it was an ugly game. There was some ugly plays defensively by the Maple Leafs. And hearing that and seeing it, my understanding is there is some issues with this organization right now, with the coaching staff, the way things are done. But the problem is, Jeff, is it me, but everybody knows that coaching staff's not going to be there next season?
Mm-hmm.
Do we already know that? Are we, like, we've talked about what's going on in Detroit. There's a problem in Detroit right now. The team is winning, yes, but we all know that Mike Babcock is going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, call mm-hmm. it as you want. And he wants money, and he's going to move. If the Red Wings are not giving him what he wants, and it's north of $3 million per season, that's what it is. So, and do we need to go back to Brendan Shanahan and his friendship with Mike Babcock? Do we need to go there? I think it's common. We all know that those two knows each other pretty well. And it's a possibility that Mike Babcock will coach in Toronto, maybe starting next season. So the problem that you have right now is what's going on in this dressing room and what are the problems. My understanding of the problem is there, even if Mike Babcock is there,
mm-hmm.
if you hear like the players, there's a lack of preparation or if the preparation is not done in the right way, is it a coaching staff problem or is it an individual problem for every player in this dressing room? It shows during last game that they weren't prepared at all to face that team. Did they want to send a message to someone? Maybe. 9-2, it's not a 6-0 or a 5-0 loss. It's 9-2. It was 9-0 at one point. And after that, with 10 minutes left, there's one line and decided to play. So my understanding is there is some problems. I think they are individual in this dressing room. And obviously there's some question marks with the coaching staff? Is there enough? Are they working? I'm pretty sure they're working hard to make sure that the team will be prepared. But are they doing the right things?
Mm-hmm.
Is the message that's being sent is the right one? Are they doing enough videos? Are they working hard with the defensemen to make sure that they'll play the right way? You know, I've heard a hockey player who's been in the leagues for 3-4 years, but a guy who came from Europe,
mm-hmm.
and he arrived. I'm not going to name the team because I'm going to involve the coach there, but western part of the country, and the coaching staff was telling him how to play defensively, and he looked at the coach and he said, "Nobody teach me that before."
Mm-hmm.
Why? And he's been in the league for 4 or 5 seasons, so you see that on some teams there's some the teaching is not done the right way. Is it a problem in Toronto? Maybe. But at the same time, there is too many question marks involving the coaching staff. Are they going to be back next season? I know they have a contract in hand, but if everybody knows that it's possible that they'll be gone at the end of the season, I don't know, Jeff. I never worked for a boss that I knew mm-hmm. could be moved in 5-6 months. It never happened to me. I don't know if it happens to you.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know how do you feel as an employee working for somebody who's gone. But I'm convinced that that's one of the problem right now. Should Brendan Shanahan or somebody else in the organization goes and see those players and say, "Guys, guess what? Guess who's your coach? And guess who will be the coach next season? So you need to work with that guy." Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the solution too. But right now, there is too many question marks, and that's my understanding of the situation.
Renaud Lavoie of TVS Sports joins us on the Jeff Blair Show, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Use the hashtag Blair Show to get involved in the conversation on social media. If Brendan Shanahan and David Nonis and Kyle Dubas were to sit down and look at the core of this group, because some of the emphasis now, I think, is moving away from Randy Carlisle and the general manager a little bit more towards the core of this group. Even some of us who've kind of defended Dion Phaneuf for the past year have seen him have two pretty bad games here and clearly be a guy who is clearly he can't pick this team up by himself. We get that. But it appears at times in too many nights as if Dion is just as guilty of things as a lot of other players on this team are. And Renaud, if you look at the core of the Leafs team, and if you were David Nonis, Kyle Dubas, or whomever, and you were sitting down and saying, "All right, we're going to move some guys out here. We're going to move some guys out of here." Are there guys in this team that other teams really, really, really want?
Oh, for sure. Jeff, the problem is, and that's always a question of the way we see things. Obviously, in Toronto, things are not going well right now with the Maple Leafs. But as I remember, 2 weeks ago, things were going, you know, things were turning around.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the boat was going in the right direction. There is quality players on that team, and maybe you're going to be shocked, but I'm going to say to you that Dion Phaneuf is one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that he could be traded tomorrow with the contract that he's having, that he has right now? I'm not convinced of that because we are in a salary cap era. And that's a huge problem if you want to move players, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I mean, I saw what happened on Tuesday. It was not pretty. I saw Dion making mistakes. But do you think that, and I don't want to compare those two. They're two different players. But I'm telling you, I saw P.K. Subban doing mm-hmm. some mistakes this season. But maybe he did those mistakes in a winning situation. So that's different. But you still know that what he did on the ice was not the right play. But that's the reality for a lot of good defensemen in the NHL. Sometimes they make decisions that are not the best one. But like I said, I don't want to compare PK and obviously Dion because they're two different defensemen. One is older than the other. But Dion Phaneuf is a good defenseman, and he still can play in the NHL. And I'm convinced that if we were not in a cap era, he would have been moved. Or maybe, and you know what, for a good player to come back because he's got a lot of things. He's doing some stuff that I really like. He's got an unbelievable shot.
Mm-hmm.
You need to use it more. He's a big guy. He's not a small guy. He still can skate. There's a lot of good things, Jeff. And I know pointing fingers, it's kind of easy. The question that you need to ask yourself is he a captain? Should he be put in that role? And mm-hmm. I'm convinced that when they made that decision, it was the right decision at that time. But at the same time, are you putting too much pressure on him? That's the question that I have. If he's not the captain on this team, his role is changing. And I'm not saying he's a bad captain, but I remember, if I have to compare the two players, Éric Desjardins was named the Philadelphia Flyers captain for a time. Mm-hmm. He didn't like it, and it didn't work. So they changed it, and it's not a bad thing to – and after that, Eric's play was – I'm going to use the word better, but because he didn't have to live with being a captain on a team. Toronto's market is not easy. As Montreal, it is not easy. What I don't like, and I think that's not fair, when I see fans throwing jerseys on the ice, this is not fair. It is totally unfair. I understand where that trend started, Edmonton. I'm not going to point fingers in Edmonton because you know what? Maybe the fans are right in that part of the country. But in Toronto, come on. They are one win over 500. They were on a good streak 2 weeks ago. I still think they're going in the right direction. But come on. The Maple Leafs are not the Edmonton Oilers. They are not the worst team in the NHL. They still have value. They have good players, good people on this organization. I'm not saying Edmonton's not the case, but they're not winning in Edmonton since I don't know when. I think my daughter was not even born. So the bottom line is I didn't like that. I hope it's going to stop because if it doesn't stop, it's going to be a longer process. I'm not saying it's the fans' fault, but the fans should be more involved in making sure the team's going to win or the team's going to have. If they're playing at the ACC and the players are scared to be booed and they are playing and it's always negative, I am convinced it's going to turn to the worst, like it turned to the worst in Montreal 10 years, 15 years ago. I remember those days when the power play was just starting after 50 seconds in the game or 2-3 minutes in the game. And because the Canes didn't have a shot in the first 30 seconds of the power play, they were already starting to boo the team on the ice. I mean, come on. What are you doing? Fans, they have the right to boo. They have the right to being upset. But if it always turn negative, you're not going to help your team. I mean, cheer for your team. It's 1-0, right? All right, it's 1-0 early in the game for the Predators. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. At 2-0, it's not the end of the world. At 3-0, after 20 minutes, it's not the end of the world. You know why? Because it happened before. But it turned for the worse right after. I'm not saying it's the fan fault, but what I'm saying is I don't like to see a home team and the players on the ice being crushed like that. If they were 1-7-5 this season, I wouldn't use that language today. But, Jeff, they are not 1-7-5. there's still a good chance they're going to make the playoffs. The boat needs to go back on the right track. And it's a huge boat. It's not a small boat. It's something big. The Maple Leafs are big. They need to play big. But you know what? They can play big. So I need, you need to clean. You need to start on a clean slate. But please, please, please. Last week we talked about the Raptors,
mm-hmm.
and I was watching the highlights today. This is a great show at the ACC, right?
Mm-hmm.
What fans are doing, Jeff? Cheering?
They're making a lot of noise.
Making a lot of noise. Well, guess what? Start to do that for the Leafs. Start to tell your players you like them. Start to be positive. I'm not saying be positive after a 9-2 loss, but if they're playing really well tonight, please, please, as a fan, cheer for that, for those players on the ice and say, you know what, guys, you did it. You did it. We were all over you. We kick you for 48 hours, or if it's not 4 days. If they're playing well tonight, please, please, cheer. I mean, and be loud. Be loud for that team, and you'll see. If you're loud for that team, things will change. If you're still quiet, as you are quiet right now, and the time you're not quiet is because you're booing, we'll see what's going to happen. It's going to be maybe ugly. I'm convinced things are going to go for the worst.
Yeah,
because it needs to change. Culture needs to change. The culture of this around this organization needs to change.
Ren, as always, it was good to talk to you today. Some words of wisdom from Montreal, my friend. Take care.
Well, I've been through it. It's ugly. Telling you don't want to go through that again.
There are people here who've gone through it for 40-odd years.
I know.
Ren, take care.
Take care, my friend.
That's Renaud Lavoie of TVA Sports. One of the best. And so there you go. Words of wisdom from somebody in Montreal. The guy in Montreal is talking Leafs fans off the ledge. Man, times have changed. Star 590, 416-870-0590, or 1-888-660-590. Are the numbers to call in. I asked the question on Twitter. Did Brendan Shanahan miss a chance yesterday to be front and center during what is, as Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star so aptly referred to it? I don't know. It's Brendan Shanahan's first real crisis as president, whatever the hell he is of this team, whatever the title is, president of hockey operations of this team. Was that an opportunity that went by? Or maybe you like the fact that Brendan Shanahan isn't like Brian Burke, that he's not out there screaming and throwing stuff around and ripping his tie off and threatening to hit people. And maybe you like this from Brendan Shanahan. I think a large part of this, and we've said it a lot in this show and other shows, I think a large part of this is we're now beginning to see that really this management group, Shanahan, Dubas, now Mark Hunter, and to a certain degree, I guess, David Nonis, their goal this year is to really get a handle on what they have in front of them. And warts and all, essentially, these guys have taken the approach, I think, that let's just see how bad this team is this year before we start moving forward and addressing issues and bringing guys in here. Let's see how bad this thing really is. So that, and if that's the case, that's fine. That suggests that there's some semblance of a plan going forward. Now, if I was paying all that money for platinum seats, knowing that I have management that isn't committed to winning, that's more interested in doing some sort of weird psychology experiment, I might be a little miffed at that. But it is possible that this is just Brendan Shanahan style, that he is staying in the office till 3 a.m, wringing his hands, and he's got a master plan and all this stuff. I'm just asking the question. You know, we took a lot in faith with Brendan Shanahan. Good mimical guy, great hockey player, pretty good leader. Guy worked in the NHL office. Pretty impressive resume. Hasn't really fired anybody before. Hasn't really shown that he managed the player department of player safety, but that's a lot different than managing a team. So I'm asking you, if you if you think this was a missed opportunity for Brendan Shanahan, or maybe you like it. Maybe you like that he hasn't said anything. John and Whitby here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Is this, are you fine with the way Brendan Shanahan's handled this first crisis?
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm going to explain to this dude by past experience. I played in Europe for a number of years and was on some championship teams, but here's the process, which a lot of people don't know. Brendan Shanahan won't come up and say anything right now because he's got a plan, like you said. But basically what happens is that lower management talks to the players, and they have a vote on the coach. So if management thinks you're not where you should be, or you're not getting the maximum out of your players, then there's a vote. And whatever the vote is amongst the players, if they vote to get rid of the coach, then they take that to Brendan Shanahan. And at that point, Brendan Shanahan's got to make a decision. But it's not Brendan Shanahan going to come up, because if he comes out now and says, yeah, Randy's our coach and we're going to go with him for the rest of the year, and then, you know, they've already voted to get rid of him, then he's not going to say anything. The only time you're going to hear from Brendan Shanahan on something like this, especially the next week and how things go for the Leaf within the next four games, then he'll make an announcement probably next week and say, yeah, they're getting rid of the coach. And that's the way that works, because it's the players. The players in the room, they're the ones that decide whether at practice they're getting what they need. There's a respect factor. I'm sure Randy has that. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're a player and you're sitting there and you're going through practice and you're going, you know what, this just isn't working for us, or he's not using us the way he should be using us, then at the end of the day, there'll be a decision made, and then the players vote on whether or not they want the coach, and that's the deciding factor of Randy, of Carlisle's career in Toronto. It's not management, it's the players.
John, I appreciate the call. I have no idea, John, if what you said is actually true. Now, what I mean by that is I can't imagine that Kyle Dubas, what does he do? Go down to the dressing room. Hey, guys, guess what? First of all, the bus leaves at 10:15 tomorrow morning. Oh, by the way, we're going to take a vote. Show of hands. Randy, keep him or fire him. The players vote by how they perform. And in which case, most of the precincts are in. It doesn't look good for Randy Carlisle. Jack in Toronto, you're in the Jeff Blair Show. Brendan Shanahan. Little low-key right now, a little quiet. Do you like what you've seen from him, or do you think that he should be a little more outspoken, that he should be front and center?
Let me preface it by saying the Boston Bruins last week, they lost to the Leafs. They got killed, and they got killed in Montreal. I don't think their president or their GM even came out and gave a press conference.
No, but they've also got a Stanley Cup. They've also, you know, you can't compare losing to Toronto and Montreal to losing to Buffalo and Nashville 9-2.
I just want to get to what I'm getting at. It seems like the media in the Toronto likes to have it both ways. When Brian Burke was here and had a press conference over every stupid thing when it was Colton Oates in the minors, just everything, everyone's like, oh, in Toronto they just do stupid things. Here's Brendan Shanahan. He just got here 3-4 months ago. He's assessing the situation. Why in the world, I don't think Brendan Shanahan has a benefit to come out and speak. And I think, like you were saying before, he's assessing the situation. I think that the fans in Toronto, I think, appreciate it also. It's supposed to having Brian Burke, basically, he has this press conference and he says this and he contradicts himself and he does something else. Here's him. He's going to assess the whole situation and you go from there. I don't think you want him, you know, saying, oh, the coach is and the coach is that.
Jack, here's the thing. Who's coming back? Who do we know is going to be back here next year? Who do we know is coming back?
Oh, so I could tell you for a fact that if they don't make the playoffs, the GM is gone.
I'll tell you what. I mean, Randy's gone. Coach ain't coming back. Even if they make the playoffs, he's not coming back. The GM, I mean, I think the GM, and most people seem to think the GM's gone as well.
I just want to tell you
Let me finish here, and I'll let you finish
sure,
as well.
I appreciate it.
So yesterday, all we heard from was a guy who isn't going to be back next year and a guy that most people think won't be back next year, coming out and saying, we're not going to do anything. What message does that send? I've heard from everybody except the people that I know are going to be here next year. What message does that send, Jeff?
Listen, I'll be honest with you. It's an extremely confusing, you know, I guess the whole whether it was getting rid of the assistant GMs and assistant coaches and keeping the head coach and keeping the GM. I just think that when he was hired, he was put in a tough situation. He inherited a GM that the president above him just adds 3 years to this contract. And I don't think that that when he got hired, he could tell Tim Lewicki, you know what, I'm going to get rid of Dave Nonis, who you just gave it to. Because in my opinion, if you're getting rid of Lozelle and Dave Poulin, which in my opinion was 100% justified for all the contracts they gave out and all this, but the person who actually had the last, pen to the paper was Dave Nonis. You know what I mean? So he should be the one if you're going to get rid of people, it's him.
But then why? But why send him? I agree with you. So why is he speaking yesterday?
I think he's just trying to avoid the whole situation, and he wants to assess everything before he does anything.
Jack, I appreciate the call. Here's the thing, too. Let's remember what Tim Lewicki said. Tim Lewicki said that TFC was fixed. Remember that? He said he wanted the Leafs to be fixed just like TFC is fixed. Maybe they are. Maybe they are as fixed as TFC is. James and Markham, you're in the Jeff Blair Show. Brendan Shanahan's been awfully quiet lately. Do you like that, or do you think he needs to be out there more?
So you said all that saying you think you're a little disappointed because he hasn't said anything. What did you expect? In 2 weeks, he caught the balloon weight disease. When he was announced, Tim Lewicki came out swinging, saying, oh, there's going to be changes. 2 weeks later, we have Leaf Insider saying, oh, nothing's going to change. Brendan Shanahan thinks they're going to work this way through it.
Mm-hmm.
In 20 games this season and 20 games last season, they've got, 12 wins? Nothing's changed. So what did you expect Brendan Shanahan to do? What I really feel sorry for Leaf fans is Brendan Shanahan is going to take the whole year to evaluate the situation. He's going to hire somebody, and then that other person is going to take a whole year to evaluate the situation. So it's going to be about, 3 years before the Leafs even have any...
That is the fear of every Leafs fan, isn't it? That really is.
And so now I have a question for you.
Yes.
A lot of people, at the end of last year, even now, people are saying, they're questioning, is the Leafs core good enough? Can somebody tell me who the Leafs core is? Of course, usually because there's 5-6 players. Who's the Leafs core?
The Leafs. I would think the Leafs core. I mean, let's go. We've got a little bit of time here. Let's go through it. The Leafs core. I think, and again, this is. I'm not saying this is who I would have as the core of my team, but this is the Leafs core. I think we can say Jonathan Bernier, the guy they brought in, Jonathan Bernier, Dion Phaneuf is the captain. Again, work with me on this. Jake Gardner is here for 4 or 5 more years. Morgan Riley. Kessel. Beyond that, I don't know. Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, there's 6. All right, so there's a lot of rumors that Jake Gardner is going to be out the door packaged with Kadri. I'm not saying, I'm just repeating rumors that I hear on the radio.
Right.
So those guys are gone. And then you have Morgan Riley, who's going to be a good defenseman one day. And Dion Phaneuf is going to be a bad defenseman in 2 years. So is he really your core that you're going to line up to win the Stanley Cup? By the time they win the Stanley Cup, the offensive is going to be what? A third line defenseman? Right?
Yeah.
So you're relying on... So who's your core? Jonathan Bernier, Morgan Riley, Phil Kessel, and JVR? That's your core?
Yeesh.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it out there like that, because nobody says it.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of comments, the core is not good enough. But nobody ever says, who is their core? No, not one commentator has ever said, who is their core? Name them, and when you line them up, you're like, oh, snap, that's not a core of a team. Can you picture those four guys being leaders of a Stanley Cup team?
No, I can't. James, I appreciate the call. That's a great point. Jeff Morrow on Twitter. There's two things possible here. One, Shanahan's assessing and waiting. 2, he has no clue how to fix this thing. That pretty much, that's the argument right there. Nathan Thomas, the Leafs are the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. Mediocre year after year, but owners and fans think they are great. And this is interesting, disgruntled hopeful. If MLSE ever just came out and said we are starting over and building a cap team, I would be okay with that, Michael Byrne. Kind of refreshing to not have upper management meddling with the hockey ops. So, two ways to look at Brendan Shanahan and his silence. And I'm sure it's a topic we will be revisiting. Let's see what the Leafs have in store for us tonight when they play the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Air Canada Center. That game, by the way, will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. pre and post game with Stelic and Osborne, Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph will have the call of that particular game. Bobby Taylor is the Tampa Bay Lightning TV analyst. There is another team playing tonight. Pretty damn good one. Got the Stamkos kid. You heard about him? He's pretty good. Bobby Taylor, Tampa Bay Lightning TV analyst, will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we are back. We will have the Lightning and Leafs tonight from the Air Canada Centre at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Leafs Nation pregame and postgame with Stelic and Osborne. Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph with the call of the game. See what the lads have in store for us tonight after back-to-back stinkers. So I think a lot of us looked at the Tampa Bay Lightning coming into this year and expected big things. One of the reasons I thought this team was going to go into the Stanley Cup was I like the way they played last year without Steven Stamkos, with a core of young players that had come up through the system. And I just assumed that the lessons learned by that core last year would be put to use this year alongside Steven Stamkos. To me, it was a no-brainer. I think they're the best team in this conference. I'm not even certain that at the end of the year it's going to be that close. Bobby Taylor is the Tampa Bay Lightning TV analyst. Bobby Taylor joins the Jeff Blair Show. Bobby, thanks so much for doing this.
Hey, no problem, Jeff. Good to talk to you.
You know, I guess we all, nobody's surprised by a big year from Steven Stamkos, but Nikita Kucherov, Tyler Johnson, this organization's depth, you know, people talked about it last year, and it was a reason that they were able to do what they did despite not having Steven Stamkos. But what is it about this organization's depth, Bobby, that has put this team in the position it's in now? Is it just good scouting, good coaching at the minor league level? What explains this?
Well, I think you really got to point to the scouts. I mean, it's amazing, Jeff. I know that I was kind of interested in seeing how it worked, and I know when I went back and looked at all our drafting from when Vinny LeCavalier was taken first overall in '98 to when Steven was taken first overall in 2008, which is what 10 years, I guess, if I do hockey by the numbers. But we never had one of our first round draft picks play any length of time for our team. You know, we had a few come up, you know, play games here, games there, but never really play a whole lot of time. And we had three top 10 guys there. So now you take a look when Steve Yzerman took over, I mean, and you can't really, he never drafted Stamkos, but when you come in and his first draft was the Brett Connolly draft, but he came in about 2 weeks before that draft. So you have to look at the one the next year when they got the Mystikov. It's been unbelievable the number of not only first rounders, but fourth and fifth and sixth round and free agent signings like Tyler Johnson and this Andre Schuster. They've just done a tremendous job, their scouting staff. And I think it's, and they got a pretty good coach in Cooper. I mean, crazy sounds, Jeff. Last year when Steven went down, I think this kind of opened up the eyes not only of our management, of coaching staff, because we had young guys that had to step up or else we were going to get smothered. And I heard you just talking about that before we came on, about how Johnson and Palat and Killorn and all these guys kind of rose to the occasion, and we had a tremendous year last year. Well, now, because of that, we had a bunch of injuries at the start. They weren't afraid to bring guys up like Paquette. They weren't afraid to put in guys like the Mystikov, you know, and Drouin. Drouin broke his thumb right at the very first day of camp, so that kind of shortened his development, or, you know, delayed his development, so to speak. So they weren't afraid to put these young guys in just to see how they did, and they've been tremendous. So I think they show a ton of confidence in all their young players, and young players are really rising to the occasion.
You know, I'm looking at this at the Lightning, at the stats right now. They've got seven players with at least five goals at this stage of the year. That's pretty remarkable. And that speaks to their offensive balance.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, you know what? The funny part of it is the line that's really kind of caught everybody's imagination, especially us in Tampa, is that Palat, Johnson, and Kucherov line. And it was by accident that they got thrown together. We had that early Western Canadian trip, and we got a bunch of injuries. I mean, you know, Killorn went down and Callahan went down in Edmonton. Before that, Hedman went down in Vancouver. And then J.T. Brown and Brett Connolly went down in Winnipeg, and so they had to put a makeshift line together. So they put Kucherov on Palat and Johnson, and they've got, I think, coming into that game against the Islanders, they had 42 points in the 12 games that they had played together, and that's incredible. I mean, we've had some really kind of strange luck in that way, because nobody would imagine that. Oh wow, let's try this guy here. It could be happening. If they thought it was going to be that good, they probably would have had them together right from the start. But by accident, we found a couple of pretty good combinations. We found a Cedric Paquette when we had injuries. He came up for four games, didn't do much, went down for one. We got another injury. He came back up and got 5 goals in 5 games. So we've been very, very fortunate in the sense that the guys that have come up have produced, but also the coaching staff has allowed them to play to see what they can do. And it's easier to find out how a guy can play in October or November than it is when you're in March and you're fighting for a playoff spot.
Steven Stamkos looks like he just hasn't missed a beat, has he?
No.
Hey, really?
You know, it's really funny. Yeah, it's really funny, too, because Stammer's really on fire right now. But, you know, for a while there, he was really hot or really cold, really hot, really cold. And he self-admittedly says, you know, I haven't played as well as I can. And that's another thing that's kind of a strange thing with this club. I mean, they've had a great start. They've done a tremendous job. I think we've only lost 2 games in a row once.
Mm-hmm.
And they really believe that they can play better. They're not a satisfied group. Every time you talk to them, you say, oh, nice game. They say, I can play better. We can play better. So that's a good thing, too, that they're still hungry to really be the best that they can be and even one of the best teams in the league. That's a good sign for the young guys and for the organization.
Bobby, it's always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Take care. That is Bobby Taylor. He is the Tampa Bay Lightning TV analyst. The Lightning at the Air Canada Centre tonight. A great show. 7 players with 5 goals or more. Palat, Johnson, and Kucherov. You heard Bobby Taylor talk about that line. Not just Steven Stamkos and supporting cast. Ryan Callahan, another guy, is having a nice year. 8 goals, 7 assists. 3 of his goals have been game winners. It's a pretty good team. And like I said, going in the year, it's a team that learned. It's a team that learned a lot and a team that won a lot last year without Steven Stamkos. Now you throw him to the mix, coupled with a full season of Ryan Callahan, hopefully a healthy Ben Bishop. This is a really good team. It'd be an interesting. Now, of course, knowing the Leafs, you know it's going to happen tonight. The Leafs are going to win 4-1. I mean, you just know that's going to happen. And then tomorrow we're going to be taking calls on what a masterful job Brendan Shanahan did of successfully navigating his first crisis as Leafs president. Travis has already got the question ready to go. Brendan will join us at 9 o'clock right out of the gate to be congratulated for the masterful way in which he kept the lid in the situation. And I, of course, will tell him that this is exactly what I wanted him to do. I'll let the other people run around and panic. Let's talk about the Raptors. 96-92 win over the Memphis Grizzlies last night. And I said out on Twitter, Randy Carlisle should make his team sit down and watch video of this. Do you think we're going to get to the point in this city where the Leafs players are going to become sick of hearing themselves compared to the Raptors? Well, you know, folks, if that happens, there is a way around that. It's called playing a little harder, maybe winning a couple of games, giving the impression that you actually give a damn, which you get and more from the Toronto Raptors. Paul Jones is our Raptors radio analyst and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Raptors do have tonight off. They've got a tough test tomorrow. The Milwaukee Bucks, a good defensive team in town. Then it's off to Cleveland to play Tristan Thompson and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Big night last night from Terrence Ross, and big night from Chuck Hayes, the Stifle Man. Yet it was Chuck, was it Chuck Norris was the Rifle Man or something like that? And whatever, Chuck Person was the Rifle Man. Yeah, well, I'm calling him, get it, Stifle Man? But there was a TV show called The Rifle Man anyhow. You get that, Stifle? Anyhow, it's dated. It's not working. You're right. Paul Jones will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues. That's Sportsnet 590, The Fan.